People go to networking events in order to connect with people to improve their jobs and get more clients.
The network is your net worth.
And for me, networking requires a strategy. Philosophy number one is to like them. Second philosophy and the second rule of networking for me is be...
Gil Petersil, a global leader in the world of networking, business strategy, and mastermind methodology. He is a pioneer in promoting new perspectives on how business connections are made. His goal is enriching others' lives by adding value and fostering meaningful connections.
Most of us humans are really bad at two things that have an effect on everything else in our life. We're pretty bad at time management and we're pretty bad at networking. They started researching what are the top 10 questions to ask people in order to get them to trust you. What are the top 10 questions to ask investors? So showing people that you're interested in them and not necessarily talking too much about yourself really helps people connect, which has not been taught to us. Every time I still meet Tony Robbins, even though I've known him for 10 years now, and everyone who's listening, consider that one. There's nothing else really that humans are bad at. If you think you're bad at accounting or you're bad at like financial management, you're bad at cooking, you're bad at parenting, you're bad in your business, you're bad in musical instruments, you're not. You want to get better at musical instruments, allocate time and know which teacher to have. Networking and time management. You're not good at cooking or parenting, allocate time and get better mentors and better role models to get better at that.
Gil Petersil, welcome to Zeno Talks.
Yeah, happy to be here.
It's an absolute honor. You're a man with a massive track record of speaking at like hundreds, if not thousands, of seminars and workshops. And, you know, one of the things that a lot of people talk about, like leadership and everything else, but the focus that you've put in, especially when it comes to networking, is something that you don't really hear a lot. You know, a lot of people talk about self-development and communication skills and this and everything else. What led you to focus on the element of networking?
Yeah, good question. So, you know, networking is known around the world as this ability to connect with people in order to get something out of it, to improve their jobs, to get more clients. It's exactly why I started early on. Now, I moved in my life quite a few times. And so every single time I moved, I had to make new friends. Every single time I moved, I had to like start a new job at a new industry. I had to connect with people, connect with teams. And as a youngster, being an introvert and an immigrant since the age of 10, connecting with people or networking was really not easy. It was always a challenge of how do you speak to guys if you're in a brand new culture, like moving from Canada to England at the age of 20. How do I start talking to the Brits? It really wasn't easy. There was no social media.
Yeah.
Or being in my late teens, how do I talk to women? What does that conversation look like? How do I start a conversation to keep them interested? And I was horrible at it. So for me, everything connected to networking really came from self-need. It wasn't just self-help and personal development. It was kind of like, I need this to make friends. I got no friends. I need this in order to meet women. I need this in order to like have a business or to like get a good job.
Yeah.
And what I understood is that if I practiced a lot, I really got better at it. Now, even though I've connected with tens of thousands of people, I'm still a very good student. Because every single time I learn how it's all done and the arts and sciences behind human networking or everything that's connected to quantum networking mechanics, I understand that there's so much that we don't know. I understand that I'm a very, very young student at this.
Yeah.
And that's what really drives me to continue what I started at an early stage in my life is like, I'm still learning and how good we can get at this. And that's kind of this journey that's never going to end, hopefully.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's incredible because I think one of the things that you just said, you know, you connected with like tens or thousands of people around the world and everything. And a lot of people use that famous quote, you know, your network is your net worth, right? But you also said something else. Like you said, from networking to net growing.
Yeah.
Right?
Of course.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So, you know, again, it's... I've been an entrepreneur since a very young age, and I've had more than 20 different companies. I call them successful failures in businesses.
Okay.
And networking requires work. It's like learning how to play the piano. It's like learning how to cook. It needs work. It needs a lot of practice, and it needs to have different practice. You don't make the same salad every single day for a year. You want to try different salad, different sauces, and you change the ingredients a little bit. So same thing with networking. you don't want to be networking with the same people from the same culture, from the same neighborhood, from the same family all the time. Mm. It's not going to help you grow. Mm. It's just not. You're going to be stuck. If you're eating the exact same meal every single day for a while, your life is going to be bland. It's not going to be as exciting. You probably are not going to be as healthy. You're not going to be able to step it up to next levels. Mm. Networking is the same thing. If you connect with people from different cultures, from different age groups, different, like, you try to connect with both men and women. You know, if you find it easier or harder to connect with one or the other, go for it. Make it harder on yourself. Make it a little bit uncomfortable. Mm. For me, networking needs to be uncomfortable, meaning it's going to get comfortable at one point. Learning how to run a marathon is uncomfortable in the beginning.
Yeah.
You get really good at it. Learning how to play the piano sounds horrible in the first 1,000 hours.
Yeah.
You get better at it. Same thing as networking.
Yeah.
We must practice it. Mm-hmm. And by practicing it, we really, truly grow.
You know, and you're right. And I think one of the things, like, I feel like even myself when I was much younger, I mean, I remember I always struggled to network. And someone once said to me that, look, if you want to succeed in this, if you want to be interesting, you have to be interested.
Mm.
Right?
Is that
part of your plan? Is that what you work on?
So I have many philosophies connected to networking. And the second philosophy and the second rule of networking for me is be curious.
Mm.
Like, be curious. And I learned this at a very young age, actually. This is a tip for everyone who's listening. At a young age, when I got to England, I realized that, hey, I got a good job. I'm a pretty good looking guy. I'm single. I need to meet women.
Yeah.
And I was horrible at starting conversations. So I went to speed dating events.
Okay.
And what I learned is the best thing to do at a speed dating event with a woman, because you only have 5 minutes to meet a woman, and that's like maybe you meet her again, maybe not, is to ask her good questions.
Yeah.
That was great. So I used to go on the web and I used to read books on how to show curiosity. What are the top 10 questions to ask women?
Mm.
And then I started researching what are the top 10 questions to ask people in order to get them to trust you.
Mm.
What are the top 10 questions to ask investors?
Mm.
And I started understanding that, wow, curiosity could really help me connect with people.
Mm.
So showing people that you're interested in them and not necessarily talking too much about yourself really helps people connect, which has not been taught to us, because most people, when they network, the person who wants you to like them will end up talking too much about themselves. Like, hey, like me, like me, like me.
Yeah.
They'll talk and talk and talk and talk.
Yeah.
But that is completely wrong. The idea is to talk less, ask more questions, show them that you're really authentically interested. Sometimes it might take a couple of minutes for someone to feel comfortable enough with you in order for them to open up or to be vulnerable with you.
Mm.
Until they get to that position where they're comfortable with you, sometimes we need to almost like fake it until we can make it.
Yeah.
So you need to sometimes fake being interested. And that's fair, I think, because some people are just, you know, maybe he's a CTO, he's an auditor of a company. And that might be boring for a lot of people, but that guy is actually a father of 2 kids who's, you know, fostering like 20 dogs. And and that guy is like a philanthropist who does so much more outside of being an auditor.
Yeah.
Unless we show curiosity, unless we show that we're interested, we're not gonna get to know what's really in their hearts. And that's, to me, the most exciting part.
You know, Gil, you, from the day I met you, you come across as a global citizen.
Yes.
And I'm sure you know that sometimes it's maybe easier to maybe network with certain people from certain cultures versus others, you know, or people at certain levels in their career, professional career versus others. And you are very good friends with people like Tony Robbins, Brian Tracy. Like, you know, for a lot of people, it's just the thought of it is intimidating to just like speak to them. But how do you manage? I mean, I know I asked a bunch of things here, But also because, you know, I remember when I went to like Sweden or Germany, it's very different to try to converse with people there versus people over here. Like, I noticed the way you speak to people like myself as an Arab, it's super smooth. Like, is it something that you're learning about cultures or learning about people who are in certain positions that gives you this kind of confidence? Or what do you do? What's the trick there? Is that philosophy number 3? Where is that?
So philosophy number 1 is to like them.
Okay.
To like them in your head.
Okay.
So I usually call it, you know, a complimentary mindset.
Okay.
So in my head, I'm constantly complimenting people when I see them in an audience or when I see them across the room, or if I'm standing in front of someone that I don't know and I'm a little bit maybe nervous, so I'm not sure what to say, or maybe they're a king of a country, they're a CEO of a big company. Every time I still meet Tony Robbins, even though I've known him for 10 years now, I still get nervous. I saw him now like a week ago, and I was literally nervous, and he sees me and we have a little chat and we're both crying within a minute because we have this deep, deep relationship. And he knows that I get a little bit nervous. So he hugs me and he's like, laughs, you know, I haven't seen you in a while, Gil. Hey, Tony, it's been 2 months, you know.
I met him in person. He's a ginormous person. Yeah, like he's just big, a big personality. So, I mean, yeah, I can imagine that's even more intimidating.
It's exactly that. It's people who are amazing in the world. They tend to have big personalities. Yes, Tony Robbins, much bigger by size.
Yeah.
But you can have a lot of people who are just big because they're a billionaire. Maybe they're just, they're very big celebrity. They're president of a country. My trick is this. First of all, when it comes to different cultures, yes, it's good to understand the different, culture attributes and what makes them a little bit different. So in some countries, you don't necessarily want to shake the hands of a woman.
True.
In some countries, it's better to just bow in front of them instead of trying to shake hands.
True.
In some countries, they want to give you a business card the moment they meet you, not the moment they're about to leave you.
Nah.
So you need to know how to hand the business card to them because that's how they connect and that's how they be able to show face, for example, who they are.
Yeah.
What I've learned is that in most cultures, everyone is the same. We're all just humans. And we all want attention. We all want to show that we're interested for someone else. We all want to show that there's a potential and a synergy and collaboration. We all want to show that, hey, we're impactful for the world somehow.
Mm.
So because of that, and because I've traveled, you know, I don't know, 50, 60 countries, I've lost count, and I've spoken about this in all those countries, I've learned that it's just easier to just like people.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where they're from. It doesn't matter the color, the gender. It doesn't matter if they're super weird or if they look super strange.
Yeah.
And I've been tested by the universe and by God many, many times by bringing people to me that are very awkward.
Mm.
They're very strange. They look weird. They smell bad. They just, it's not a person that most humans would give attention to.
Yeah.
But like what I learned in speed dating, I will always give them 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Sometimes 3 minutes is enough, but I will always give them that attention to try to connect. And I've learned that because of that approach in life, you know, when I got to Bali, I went to an event of someone and I saw this, you know, very nice looking, very simple, humble looking Indonesian men, Balinese men standing in a corner, not talking to anyone, seemed very, very shy. I walked up to him, started a conversation.
Mm.
You know, 10 minutes later, he says, oh, wow, maybe you can come to my office and talk to my team. I'm like, yeah, of course, let's exchange information.
Mm.
15 minutes later, he gets invited on stage and gets introduced as one of the leading kings of Bali.
Oh my goodness, wow.
And for me, it's just, I saw a guy who was very simple, very humbly dressed, standing in a corner of the room and no one is talking to him.
Yeah.
And that's the people I like walking up to.
That's
because
amazing.
I've learned that I wish that someone did that to me when I was young.
Yeah, and never underestimate anyone.
For me, that guy that's sitting in the corner, maybe he's just shy, they're an introvert, you know, and that approach of, I know I can add value, I know I can connect, I know I can at least listen to you, I know what questions I can ask you, I know that I can help lift up your spirit, it helps me connect with a Richard Branson, to a king of a country, to a, you know, CEO of a multi-billion-dollar company, or to just talk and sit down to homeless people on the street and find out how their day has been and what could I do to make them better.
That's incredible. You know, and I think a lot of the people who are probably watching this now will think, you know, I'm a shy person. I don't know what's the right move or what's the right step to take before starting a conversation with someone, either they're by themselves, or a lot of the times when you go to a lot of networking events, you already see those groups and those groupies just getting together, and then you're like, okay, now what do I do? How do I start? You know, is it going to be rude? Is it not? So what are your tips for people who are in that position, especially when they're shy?
Yeah, so that's a really cool question because most people are actually not really shy. They're just inexperienced. So I work with a lot of CEOs from different organizations as a coach for their business on strategy. And for me, networking requires a strategy because you're playing the piano requires a strategy. You need to learn. There's a technique on how to do it well. Cooking requires a recipe. If you don't follow the recipe, you will not make a cake. You will, if you add the eggs after you take the cake out of the oven, it's not going to be a cake. It's just not going to work out. So networking also has these formulas of how to approach people, how to approach a circle. And I love because I mentor all these CEOs and I coach entrepreneurs around the world on understanding that there is a methodology to co-elevating within a network, for example, of people, of looking for a circle of people. And in your head, you're thinking, ah, they already know each other.
Yeah.
But there's very high chances that they've all just met 5 minutes ago. And yes. just because they look like they're having a nice conversation does not mean they're friends from before. So why assume that you're the outsider? Why not assume that they had a little bit more courage to take a couple of steps towards a circle than mm-hmm. you do right now?
True.
Why not explore that networking does have a strategy? So what could I do in order to lift up my courage, in order to lift up my confidence? Could I, like for me personally as an introvert, I've learned there's a lot of tips of, for example, sometimes I go into the bathroom in an event and I'll literally wash my hands for 5 minutes just to recharge my energy. Or I'll know as an introvert not to stand in the middle of the room where there's a lot of people all around me. I'll stand in a corner of a room and I'll kind of try to talk to people in those corners in order to not drain my energy. So shyness, it just means that I'm not ready yet. If you just had 2 hours of piano lessons, do not go in front of an audience and start playing the piano. It's just not going to work out. You will be shy. You'll be inexperienced. You're not going to be good at it. When it comes to networking, if you're right now very shy at networking, number one, get a coach. Work with a mentor to understand, how do I hack the system? How do I hack it? How do I not need to, you know, if you want to learn how to cook, you can pick up a couple of books and look at recipes and try to practice at home.
True.
Or you can also go to the Cordon Bleu school, and within a few weeks, you will be one of the top chefs in your whole network.
Yeah.
It's exactly what you could do in life. You can hack the system, which is why myself and there's some other amazing coaches in the world that help entrepreneurs and business owners to hack the system when they want to enter a new country. Mm-hmm. So networking needs a goal. There's no point to randomly network. If you want to ever test people out, and everyone who's listening, consider that one, you know, have a reason to network. And don't just say, oh, I'm trusting God. God will bring great people to you. No, no, no. God brought 8 billion people to you. Start by saying thank you. God makes you alive. Yeah. God makes you wake up in the morning and you're out of the bed and you're dressed and you're healthy. Yeah. You show up in an event. Beautiful. Like that's, God has given us so much. Like for me, the biggest gift God has given me is people.
Yeah.
So the fact that he's already given me 8 billion people, all I got to do is I got to practice learning how to talk and build relationships with them.
Yeah.
So I tell people, find a way to hack the system by understanding what is it that you want to achieve. Like, yeah, okay, you're shy, but are you shy because you're trying to talk to women? Are you shy because you're trying to raise investments and you're looking for the right investors to come in? Are you shy because you need a mentor to work with you and you're not sure how to walk up to a mentor or how to start a conversation? This is the kind of idea that I tell people, find a way to hack the actual strategy that you have in order to connect with the people that you want to attract into your life now.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. When you said something about draining your energy and everything else, and I've experienced that. And I do exactly what you do. I will excuse myself and say, oh, I need to go to the restroom. But actually, I don't really need to. I just get away. But one of the things that I've also experienced, and I want to ask you if you've experienced this, but you ever experienced like just burnout, like not even during the event, before that, like, you know, because you're constantly, Gil, you're working around the world, around the clock, like you're always away, meeting so many people. And sometimes just the thought of it just gives you that burnout feeling or the sensation. You're like, you know what? I'm not in the mood today. I just don't feel like I want. How do you deal with that? Have you experienced it?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people wouldn't believe it because, you know, Gil, like, you're probably one of the strongest personalities I've met. And we always feel like you're Superman, but
we all experience burnouts with everything in life.
Yeah,
we all experience burnouts when it comes to work, when it comes to being a father of kids. Sometimes I'm just tired, so it's amazing to have the helpers at home. So burnout when it comes to networking needs to be broken down. And where is it from? Is it because I've just had a really long day and my team drained me? Because that is also networking. Did my team take my energy? And if your team took your energy, you need to ask yourself, do I have harmony in my internal network? Because if my team drained me, it means that I'm not doing what I'm meant to do in life. You're meant to be co-elevated by a team, by your network. They're meant to lift you up, not drain you. Is it something else? Am I leaving the house in the morning and I'm completely drained first thing in the morning? Because I got 3 kids and wife and all this, and I got to take care of everyone, and I got to be the hero that I am. So maybe I should have a helper at home or a nanny at home that helps us more in the morning to bring more harmony into my life. Sometimes the burnout just comes from people who are going from event to event to event. Like right now, I've just spent you know, the last 2 weeks traveling around the world and pretty much networking, not just all day, but also in towards half the night. But living in Bali, I'm surrounded by nature. I take a lot of time to relax. I've learned how to recharge my energy. I've learned how to eat the right food. I've learned how to sleep quickly. I've learned how to take power naps. I've learned how to take different functional supplements in order to give my body, you know, a nice balance. I don't drink coffee. I don't drink Red Bull. I don't drink alcohol. I don't need any of that to stimulate my body and give me anything extra. I just find that eating a carrot or some spinach with some hummus before going to an event will give me the right protein, the right vitamins in order to have that energy. Some people think they need to eat a heavy meal. And that will drain them of energy because all the brain juices will go down to the stomach. So burnout is usually a sign of not following the right strategy in your own life. So you should just listen and say, sometimes it's okay to just say, tonight I'm not going out. I'm going to go home and lie down on the sofa and watch a movie. I'm going to go home and take a nap.
That's interesting. You know, and you're also known as a business coach. I mean, is this one of the things that your clients are asking? You've worked with companies like KPMG, MasterCard, Alpha Bank, all these the companies in the big league. So is this the challenges that they encounter most frequently?
So, you know, for the last 10 years, I've worked with multiple governments, some of the biggest corporations in the world. And these days, I like working with business clubs and entrepreneurs that are trying to make an impact in the world. Yeah. I found that in my life, a big part of my mission is to make a massive impact in the way we build relationships. So now it was a big part of COP28, and it was all about sustainable relationship for me. How do I help organizations and people to have amazing relationships that are really long-term and they're built on a matrix, on a collaboration formula? So clients come to me because they're looking to enter another country. So they need a networking strategy to expand their network. Companies come to me because they need a new network, a new business development strategy, because they want to enter, they want some new clients and new segment. And instead of looking for them one by one through a funnel, I can hack the system and give them a pool of those through strategic partnerships. Clients come to me a lot for joint ventures or for attracting investments because I have found it very easy. Instead of looking for, you know, too many investors, it's easy to do a bullseye and just identify the greatest investors that are very much aligned with the company's philosophy. They're very much aligned with where the industry is going. And it's smart money. It's very easy now for me to not only identify people within my network that you would need, but it's really easy for me, and it's the biggest thing I do for my clients, to bring harmony into your network. And that means that we audit your network and we see who lifts you up, who takes you down, from family and friends and business people. We see how much people maybe you don't need in your network. And by creating space in your network, by actually pushing some people away or you yourself moving away from some people, you create space within your network. Once you create space within your network, we can help bring new people into your network. That could be advisors and mentors and investors and clients, whatever it really is. For me, the biggest thing is to bring harmony into someone's network. It's the easiest way to grow and flourish, be happy, be wealthy, be healthy.
But Gil, building a network, okay, this is all well and said. How do you maintain and nurture them? How do you keep those? Because, I mean, I'm telling you, there are some people I've met in my life, some of the most important people, and I'm sure other people have come to you with the same issue. And I sometimes regret because I feel so awkward to try to send them a message or reach out to them because I haven't spoken to them in so long. We all get distracted by so many things in our lives today, you know, whatever is this age that we're living in. Maybe it's always been this problem, but how do you do that? Especially with someone like yourself, with all these people that you know around the world. I mean, do you have like a record of their birthdays or their anniversaries and you're like, okay, I'm going to send them a card at these dates? Or, you know what, maybe if they're celebrating Hanukkah or Christmas or Eid or Ramadan or like
all of Diwali. The above.
Okay.
All of the above. So look back at the way our parents did it.
Okay.
Our parents did not have smartphones.
True.
Our parents had to have a book with people's names and phone numbers, and they had to use a weird old looking phone that uses the weird electrical points in order to make a phone call. Yeah. So, but they still managed to maintain a network. The only difference is our parents and grandparents had a somewhat limited network, but the fact that they had a limited network meant that those relationships were very deep. They built long life relationships. And most of our families, like older generation, had the same friends for most of their life. Like they've had friends for 30 or 50 years. Mm-hmm. I think that has changed in our era. People can make friends now in 1 year. You move to Dubai, you can find best friends in a couple of months and suddenly you are their friend.
Yeah.
So because of that, and because we travel a lot more than our grandparents did, we could fly around the world, we have smartphones, we have all these social medias. I meet people. I recently actually, at a Tony Robbins event, met someone who I've been coaching for 4 years through COVID, and I've never once met them.
Oh, wow. It's all online.
The first time where I met him was just now. And for me, when we hugged each other, I'm like, I've known this person. There was no disconnection. I'm now writing a new book called The Follow-Up Code.
Okay.
And The Follow-Up Code is all about understanding, like if a farmer would go and plant a seed of a bamboo plant now in a fertile ground in beautiful Bali, he would need to water that plant for about 4 to 5 years until a small green leaf comes out of the ground. And if he continues to nurture that leaf, after 4 or 5 years, no results comes out of it. Now there's zero results. Mm-hmm. And suddenly after 4 or 5 years, a small leaf comes out. And then within about 2 weeks, it will shoot up as high as the roof of your house.
Okay.
Now, what we need to understand is that relationships are the same way. We need to follow up. If that farmer does not go every day and water that plant, that bamboo will be okay. Mm. Sometimes he should water it more than once a year, but sometimes it's enough to, it suddenly rains. It suddenly he shows up and that other plant next to him will get, the plants share water as well underground. That's why they're all connected with roots. And most people don't know that a bamboo, for example, most other plants, they network under the ground before they come out of the ground. Mm. So there's a massive network on the ground. It's the same thing with us. Once you meet someone and you've spent about 7+ minutes with them, you are networked with them. Mm. Whether or not you're connecting with them and following up with them, if you choose to think about that person once a month for just 1 minute in a meditation or in silence, like, hey, this guy Omar, I'm sending him good luck, I'm sending him good vibrations, I'm sending him like my love, I appreciate him, I think about him, that is more than enough on a quantum level to stay connected. Now, if you want to do something a little bit more practical, you could choose 100 people in your life and every single month take 1 hour, or you could take 100 minutes and send them each a 1 minute customized voice message. Mm. Just, hey, Omar, how's it going? It's been a little while. This is what's new in my life. What's going on in your life? My kids are here. I've been traveling. You give them a little quick story in 1 minute. Mm. Ideally, it's personalized and it's only 30 seconds to a minute. You could say I brought 100, maybe 120 words in a minute. Mm. And that is just 100 minutes once a month to follow up with 100 people. So what I tell people is, first of all, try to organize your network. Audit your network, even put it on Excel, so you could see who's in your network, who's your top people that you love the most, who are people that you want to stay in touch with. You can use the CRM, of course. You can use your phone. Your phone has a CRM. So whenever I save people on my phone, I will always add more words around them. Maybe where I met them, the country where I met them, the event. If I know their birthday, great, I'll add it. Sometimes with close people, I love adding their birthdays in my phone, but I add it in a specific way that it shows up in my calendar. Mm. But at this stage, with tens of thousands of connections, every single day I get hundreds of people that it's their birthday. Yeah. I stop doing that. I try to kind of just connect with the right people that I really, really care about and love for their birthday. Otherwise, every single day I'll have to send a happy birthday to 100 people. And I want to keep it as a little follow-up with them. I love organizing at least one brunch or maybe a dinner, or maybe I invite people to someone else's event. Mm-hmm. I never show up alone to anyone's event. I believe in showing up in an entourage. So a good way of staying in touch with people is whenever you show up at an event, invite a few people in that city that you haven't seen for a while. Hey, I haven't seen you in a while. I'd love to catch up. I'm going to this interesting gallery this evening. Do you want to show up? We can catch up. And then you can have 5 minutes with him, and then you can talk to other people. So suddenly you're talking to 10 people in the same night. It's just important to remember that the network that we've been given, again, in my opinion, is our gifts. So we should not take it for granted. And just because we have no immediate business opportunity of what we could do with them right now does not mean that we should not stay in touch with them. I highly recommend people to find ways of staying in touch with people that they had a good connection with.
Yeah.
And maybe just like that bamboo, it might take maybe not 5 years, but it might take 10 meetings that you meet them until they become a friend, they become a lover, they become an investor, they become a mentor, they become something in your life that is of significance.
Yeah.
And then you'd be like, oh my God, thank you God for bringing that person in my life. But God said, hey, I brought this person a long time ago. You actually did all the work.
Yeah.
You actually followed up.
Yeah.
You looked for that person on your phone. You made an effort. Like what I do is I try to look at my phone and what's up. Every month I do this as an audit, especially if I'm on a plane or if I'm in a car stuck in traffic for an hour.
Mm.
And I literally scroll down on the phone 3 months or 6 months back.
Mm.
And then I'll ask myself, why have I not been in touch with these people for 6 months?
Mm.
And some of them I'll be like, oh, that's why. Like, you know, this one, okay, this one, I don't. Wow, these five people were amazing. And I'll send them a nice personalized message saying, I was just thinking about you. Wanted to stay in touch. I know everyone keeps busy. I might be in your city in the next 2 months. Let me know what's new and exciting.
Yeah.
Now, what I don't promise to do, I don't want to get on a phone call with them right now.
Yeah.
I don't promise to answer them. Just because I sent them a message and they sent something back does not mean that I need to start talking to them because I don't have time. What I do, I leave it unread.
Yeah.
Until maybe a week or 2 weeks later, I'll say, hey, thanks a lot for responding. I love that we're in touch.
Mm.
That's it. There's no need to connect with someone and say, let's meet for coffee, or connect with someone, let's get on a call.
Yeah.
It's just staying in touch, watering your gardens.
So let me tell you this, you know, some of the key words of, I think this year, maybe last year, is ghosting.
Mm.
Have you ghosted people?
So I don't believe in ghosting because it's strange. The whole idea is strange. Most of us humans are really bad at two things that have an effect on everything else in our lives.
Yeah.
We're pretty bad at time management and we're pretty bad at networking. There's nothing else really that humans are bad at. If you think you're bad at accounting or you're bad at like financial management, you're bad at cooking, you're bad at parenting, you're bad in your business, you're bad in musical instruments, you're not. You want to get better at musical instruments, allocate time and know which teacher to have.
Mm.
It's networking and time management. You're not good at cooking or parenting, allocate time and get better mentors and better role models to get better at that.
Mm.
Ghosting for me is something that maybe someone created. I don't know if it's men or women created, where it's like, hey, I went on a date with you and you're not answering me. You know what? I've gone into really good business meetings and I thought that business was going to close. And then I didn't hear from that person for 3 months, even though I followed up three times. And then suddenly they wrote me. And for me, ghosting, for example, I had an experience with Brian Tracy many years back when I initially was getting my career up and going. And I was like, now in order to really get my career to the next level, I want to share the stage with all of my role models. And I made a list of all the biggest role models in the world, Keith Ferrazzi, Jay Abraham, you know, Brian Tracy, Tony Robbins, the biggest people in the world of coaching and personal development and speaking. I was like, I want to share the stage with all of them.
Mm.
And I remember meeting Brian Tracy, sharing the stage with him, having lunch with him and all these VIP guests, connecting with him, having a great conversation. He gave me his business card.
Mm.
He offered to follow up. I was so excited. It was one of the greatest days of my life until that date. And then for 3 months, he did not answer any of my emails. He did not answer any of my WhatsApp messages, nothing. Now, on WhatsApp, it was just not read. On emails, it was just like delivered, but not read. And I'm really good at following up. I'm really good at not saying like, hey, Brian, why are you not answering me? I was just like, hey, Brian, hope you're well. And this, you know, I was just trying to be very, very professional about it. And about 4 months, so for 3 months, no communication. And I just stopped. I gave space. Sometimes it's good to give someone space and time for the network. It's really, really powerful. But 2 months later, a month later, I don't remember exactly, there was another event in Moscow at the time.
Mm.
And I saw that Brian was also going to be a speaker. I got myself as a speaker. I literally contact the organizers. You don't have to pay me. I just want to share the stage with all these people. Mm-hmm. The organizers, okay, we don't have to pay you. Let's go. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. I walked into the green room and I see all these super famous people. And I'm like this. I was definitely the youngest person from all these speakers. Definitely.
Yeah.
And I see Brian Tracy and Alan Pease and all the Keith Ferrazzi, all these giants for me sitting there talking. And I walk in the room and I'm super nervous because I'm thinking maybe I should walk away. And the introvert inside of me says, Gil, just walk out of the room or pick up your phone, get on a phone, look at your phone, look busy and cool.